We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Have a question or comment? Call or text us at 304-314-4161 or email us at wvumsn@gmail.com. Now let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
I'm so pissed about how we played at the beginning of the game, because in other sports I kind of understand. You know, you got all these games in other sports. Football, you get 12. Like, how the hell you not get ready to play one game a week? You know, I don't get it. I don't get it. We've yet to put a whole game together, and it's frustrating. You know, our fans are frustrated, and I get it. Nobody's more frustrated than me, and. Our first half versus Texas Tech was inexcusable. I can't reason it. We competed in the second half. Thought we played well. At times, offensively, played really well. Defensively, our first two series in the second half are what we're looking for. That's how we need to play defensive football here. But we didn't finish. We didn't finish very well.
Nope, not at all. As we welcome you into what's been a tough week here in the Mountaineer Sports Network studios, trying to figure it all out and try to fix it up here as we make our way to Waco, Texas, coming up on Saturday afternoon. Thanks for being with us here on the MSN Insider Podcast. Well, I think we know where we need to go, what we need to do, and it's just a matter of doing it, right? So no sense on dwelling on it. And I think that that's what we're going to spend this week's edition of the podcast on, and taking a look at the Baylor Bears, who have, I think, similar and like-minded goals, much to that of what West Virginia wants to do and where they would like to be. However, they've been able to finish some games. They do have a big victory, a top 20 victory under their belt, much like West Virginia. However, instead of being 2-3 as West Virginia is, the Baylor Bears are 4-1 as WVU prepares to make their way to McLean Stadium. Thanks for being with us here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. A reminder that our podcast is brought to you by our friends at GoPuff. It's for college students by college students, because you know what? College goes by fast, and GoPuff delivers faster. anything that you need, 30 minutes or less, snacks, drinks, all of the game day essentials like burgers and buns, party cups, and a whole lot more like your everyday needs, laundry, school supplies, electronics. As a matter of fact, in my house, we go through paper towels like you would not believe. Like a roll a day, it seems like. And these things are pretty expensive. But sometimes you don't have the opportunity to go out and buy the big value pack rolls like, you know, I do. So if you're really in need, if you're running low and you realize that your supply is completely depleted and you just need one or two rolls of paper towels, I've relied on GoPuff to help me out. So it's terrific because made for college students by college students, even though I'm not a college student, I may as well be. And the good thing is because of our affiliation here with the Mountaineer Insider Podcast, just use the code VARSITY to check out for $10 off of your first two orders. So it saved my bacon, and I've saved a few shackles as well by using GoPuff. Be sure to check it out before you go any further here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Where do we go from here? It's a matter of finishing, right? It's a matter of just pushing it across the finish line. It's about details. It's about sewing up all of those loose ends. And all of these things, I think, just come back to leadership, and they come back to maturity. What is the elixir? What fixes all of this? I think, really, unfortunately, it's going through pain points. It's going through failures. It's having the lead or being tied in the fourth quarter in each of these three losses that we've endured and learning from all of those. And I know that, you know, in year three, a lot of folks don't want to hear that. They believe that that shouldn't be the case, but whatever the case may be, that is the case. So this team's a few snaps away, really, on one hand, maybe two at most, from being a 5-0 team. Well, if you want to be a complete pessimist, you can also say that we are one Jackie Matthews pass from not being batted away at the goal line in a fourth down and goal-to-go situation for the Virginia Tech Hokies of being a 1-4 team. So depends on what your prism is, and I'm trying to keep a realistic prism because all of the things that we're talking about, you know, whether it's a snap infraction, too many of those, whether those key penalties, whether it's an MA up front on the offensive line, if it's a poor decision with where the football should be going, if it is maybe some miscommunication or improper use of a timeout, which Neil fell on the sword Tuesday about the first called timeout in the second half against the Red Raiders. These are all pain points that we're going through that we hopefully learn from and we hopefully rectify here ASAP. Now you've got a team in the Baylor Bears that really, I think, are trying to do very similar things to what West Virginia is going to do, has done quite well, quite frankly. And that is limit possessions from the other team and play extremely solid defense. And by all accounts, they're getting a shot in the arm back at their linebacker position. Terrell Bernard, by all accounts, is coming back from injury, and we're going to talk to J.J. Joe, radio analyst for the Baylor Bears, former quarterback, great one for them in the early 90s. And speaking of quarterback play, we asked them how the Bears are moving on and what life without Charlie Brewer is like. Brewer, second in Baylor history, nearly 10,000 passing yards. He went to Utah just at the tail end of the 2020 season. So they're moving on. They have perhaps a similar quarterback who's trying to do similar things that Jared Daigle is doing. And we'll try to get the full scouting report here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast with J.J. Joe, who joined Dale Wolfley and I earlier. So, J.J., take me through what this year has been like. Obviously, a season last year that had some folks upset, but I think there was good reason for why Baylor finished at 2-7 after appearing in the championship game a couple of years ago. Simply, you couldn't establish yourselves with any offensive or defense sort of game plan with the COVID-19 pandemic. How much did the offseason mean for Baylor, for Jeff Grimes and company, to implement something this year?
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on, and it was huge. You know, having a new coach, you know, David Aranda coming in, building a, a new staff, and they just didn't have any time with the kids at all. And then you had, you had Fedora, who was offensive coordinator, that came in. And really, I think he just didn't have an opportunity for that offense to gel. And it really showed up front. And I'm telling you, with Coach Grimes and Coach Mateos in now, their philosophy fits Coach Miranda. This going through the spring as well as the summer has been huge. And you could tell the development. You could tell that the scheme fits the linemen and the talent. And you could tell that the players, they have confidence in it. Albeit last week, Oklahoma State really took it to us. But Oklahoma State takes to a lot of teams when you have to go to Stillwater. So it's really come along well. I think the fans have been patient because they understood 2020. And we're excited, hopefully, to try to find a way to get a W against those Mountaineers this weekend.
Yeah, and I want to talk about what you guys think of us here, but take me through the loss of Charlie Brewer. He was the first four-year starter quarterback since you, JJ, in the early 1990s. Did that catch everybody by surprise, or with the regime change, was that kind of a foregone conclusion?
You know, I think for Charlie, he wanted a change. I think deep down he wanted a change. I think the coaches would have loved to have Charlie back. That experience of a starter. He's a Baylor legend. Will be in the Baylor Hall of Fame here at our university. Took us to the championship game, and he's just a gamer. And I think, if you look back at it, maybe he would think differently if he saw that the offense was going to change. I'm not sure, but I think he was looking for something different. And he went to Utah, and I think things have kind of, run its course there. But nevertheless, Bohannon has come in. He's bided his time. And he's really performed well. Last week was a rough one. He didn't turn the ball over. He protected the ball, but just wasn't able to make those plays. So while you miss Charlie, you know how it is in football. When one person leaves, another person gets an opportunity. And Gary so far has played really good football.
Yeah, JJ, let's talk about this rushing attack of the Baylor Bears. I mean, I watched him on film. I broke it down. You use a lot of tight ends, 11 and 12 personnel. I'm looking at Abram Smith. He's averaging almost 8 yards per rush. Ebner is averaging 6 yards per rush. Even Bohannon, the quarterback, is almost 4 yards. That puts it as his sack totals in there. So, again, what a ground attack you guys got going on.
Yeah, and that's what we really needed to do. Coach Miranda wants to be a physical team. And this offense, at first I had to figure out, we're talking about this wide zone and wide gap. What is this? I had to go watch BYU from last year and try to decipher, kind of how much of that was Zach Wilson, how much of that was like they're coordinating. But, I'll be honest with you, part of it is our opponents. Early we played Texas State, we played Texas Southern, we played Kansas, and no disrespect. But that's different than playing West Virginia and Oklahoma State, et cetera. It's a different level of football. So last week, we could tell against Iowa State, we ran the ball well in the first half. They shifted their strategy.
J.J. Joe is with us, former Baylor Bears quarterback and, of course, radio analyst on the Bears radio network. He has to just carry John Morris all around, their play-by-play guy. I mean, just Morris's success is just completely off the coattails of J.J.
Kind of like how they do for you, Danny?
Yeah, pretty much, yes.
All right.
That's how it goes. Hey, well, J.J., big shot in the arm here. By all accounts, Terrell Bernard is playing Saturday, yes?
Yes, that's what we're hearing. He had, of course, an injury. He had an injury there in the Kansas game, Iowa State game. And I was really scared for a moment there because he got hurt in the Iowa State game last year. But sounds like he is just a cleanup, and he is slated, if all goes well, to be available on Saturday.
How much is his speed and lateral movement a big part of his game? And do you believe that there will be any limitations to that speed or lateral movement on Saturday?
That's huge for Terrell. I mean, I think part of what helps him is that he's played so much football that, he sees things before they happen. Now, he's a weak side linebacker. He's called on a lot to, avoid linemen, go over guys who are trying to cut him. They don't cut as much now as they used to. But so you're right. I mean, laterally, it's huge for him. He's going to have to, kind of see how well do I move after, kind of having gone through a little cleanup. So, I'll be interested to see how he is in warm-up. to see if he looks limited. But the good news, what I'm hearing, is that they really didn't have to do much that would, you know, hold him out too long. So if that's the case, hopefully it's just something that, as a matter of fact, they said he wanted to play last week, but the coaches said no. So hopefully all goes well, and we'll see how he's moving there early during pregame warmups.
Yeah, hey, it's JJ. So let's talk about the defense and the philosophy, because when I look at it and break the film down, I'm seeing a three-man front with a what you guys call a jack, but it's kind of like our bandit linebackers, that stand-up defensive end. And you also have a star DB, which is kind of right. Like our spear. So, again, what is the philosophy? I know that Aranda has said that he wants to make a team go lateral for success rather than going north and south. So, basically, he's built that team up, that strong defensive line, and probably one of the best linebacking cores, well, we believe, are in the Big 12.
Yeah, they've had a couple guys come on. I mean, Matt Jones and Aston Logan. I think Aston played the jack, and Matt actually was at the jack, and he's moving to fill in for Terrell. Will Williams also filled in for Terrell Owens. Terrell Bernard. But they have a really good linebacker group, and got some young talent behind those veterans, Dylan Doyle and Terrell. But really, philosophically, you know, I look at it as I always say it's 4-2-5. It is a 3-3, kind of a 3-3-5 look, but they do have those hybrid. Petrie is really, to me, more of a safety if you look at his build. But, you know, they'll put Ashton Logan. He's a normal linebacker type. He's usually on the line of scrimmage. Typically, he'll sometimes drop. But they, you know, Coach Roberts is aggressive. I mean, he wants to play, get you going side to side, but he wants to put pressure on the quarterback. And then he'll, you know, he's going to ask Lonnie Tejada and Kalen Barnes, and Kalen didn't play as much last week. I think he actually didn't play at all. His corners to hold up. He's going to ask those guys, I need you to hold up. So philosophically, you know, he does want to make sure that he is covering all those gaps, and he wants to, you know, really put pressure on that running game and make you have to throw the ball. And I think we saw in the Iowa State game, they did a pretty decent job in that second half of getting those tight ends open. I'll play action. I think part of that is because our guys are playing downhill quite fast, trying to get to that run game. So he's assertive. He's aggressive, Coach Roberts is. And it's, for the most part, it's worked for him.
J.J. Joe with us here on the MSN Insider, Dan and Wolf. You know, when we look at how this defense is so stingy for Baylor, JJ, I'm curious as to how the synergy works with Jeff Grimes and his offensive philosophy. Can you give Mountaineer fans kind of a snapshot of what the identity is on offense and what the initiative is on offense to be able to complement the defensive bent and overall philosophy of this Bears program, which I think is predicated on defense, considering Dave Aranda's background?
It is, and I think this fits, and I think Gary fits. I think part of the decision at quarterback, besides Gary playing really well early, is that Gary fits, I think, Aranda's personality and kind of style of football. He protects the football. He's had a couple of fumbles, had a pretty big one in the Iowa State game. But philosophically, because Coach Grimes and Mateos, they want to be a physical stretch football team. They want to keep things pretty much relatively simple, but show you a lot of formations, use some big bodies in those tight ends. I think that really does complement what Coach Aranda and Coach Roberts want. They want a team that's going to be physical. They want a team that's going to control the clock to try to protect their defense. And so I think they're married at the hip. And it really helped. And the defense has done a great job of turning teams over. Now, on Saturday, they turned Spencer Sanders over three times. And offensively, we just couldn't finish the deal. So you can really see how the marriage works. But Coach Grimes and Coach Mateos, they want to press the line of scrimmage. They want to keep things wide. They want to move you laterally. And then when you either over-pursue or you don't get to the gap, they're asking Abram Smith or Tristan Ebner to make that cut. Just make that cut, get going downhill. And Tristan Ebner's done a great job of adjusting his whole running philosophy. He used to be just a pop-to-the-sideline guy. He's now a one-cut-and-go guy.
Hmm. So, JJ, when you pop in the West Virginia film, do you see a lot of similarities with Neil Brown that you do with Dave Aranda? I guess what we've just talked about here the last couple of minutes, you know, programs built on defense. Neil mentioned that last week, that he believes that, that he can build a program on defense, and the numbers, I think, bear that out. And when you try to create that synergy with offense, maybe similar to what Bohannon is doing, that is what West Virginia, I think, offensively is trying to do. Control the clock, suck the air out of the football. I'll submit the Oklahoma first drive, that 17-play, 9-minute drive, maybe, as evidence supporting that. So are we looking at two programs that are basically trying to do the exact same thing?
Yeah, the Big 12 is, it's changed. I mean, I've been covering the Big 12 since 2004. Well, I remember when, you know, it wasn't odd to have a 49, 40, 56 game or something. I remember we went to West Virginia one year, and it was like 72 or 70-something to 60-something. So,
70-63, so yeah, JJ.
There you go. There you go. Thank you. Thanks for reminding me there. But yeah, so, I mean, I think philosophically, they're very married. I hadn't had a chance. I watched some of the Oklahoma game, hadn't dove into the film yet with West Virginia. But I saw some of that Oklahoma game, and I really thought they had them dead to rights. I thought they were going to get them, which was why Saturday's outcome was surprising to me against Tech at home. I know how hard it is to win at Morgantown, so that was surprising. But nevertheless, I think they very much are similar. You guys have a really good running back. I think maybe the offensive, the line and stuff is coming along. I'll look at that more in the next couple of days, but I think just philosophically in general, what you're going to see is two football teams that are going to be physical, that are going to try to make sure they press you at the line of scrimmage, and then they're going to eventually force that quarterback to have to make a play. And I think, you know, maybe you're looking at, you know, something like 13-16 in one way, or maybe 14. I mean, we could do one of those games.
The antithesis of what we saw in 2012. Exactly. We certainly know it's going to be that, JJ. Well, hey, man, great breakdown. Appreciate you, and look forward to catching up with you on Saturday. Thanks so much, and keep that John Morrison line. I know he's kind of a wild card.
Hey, will do, my friend. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, take care, JJ.
Well, interesting stuff there from JJ Wolf. Basically, what we saw in that Big 12 opener way back when, that everybody remembers between West Virginia and Baylor, is not going to be happening on Saturday afternoon in Waco, Texas.
Well, you see what's going to happen here, Dan, okay? Is in 2012, there wasn't a box, okay? There was a field,
yes.
Okay? And I don't think there was a defense, really, at that time either. So this group will be different. This will be a battle of the box. This is going to be a bunch of big uglies, and they're the offensive defensive linemen. This is going to be some tight ends. They like to go 12 personnel. They like to go 11 personnel. They go 12. Now, remember this. When you see those two tight ends in there, they run the ball 70% of the time.
Okay.
Big telltale. You know what's going on. But, you know, the defense, they're going to have to stand up tall. I do believe there's one thing that I see looking at the film. I do believe our defensive linemen can go ahead and outmaneuver the offensive line because they're big, but they're not so strong laterally as they are north and south. If they get a hold of you and you're going north and south, watch out, then you're in trouble. But if you can break those cracks, which we know our defense does, mm-hmm. and we work those angles, we might have an advantage there.
J.J. Joe mentioned 16-13. What about 7-6? Could be 6-3.
I mean, as long as we have the most points, we'll be happy.
Yeah, maybe mix in a safety as well, perhaps if we can win the special teams battle.
Okay.
And get somebody down there in the end zone. Yeah. What a difference a decade makes. But I think you've got two programs that are built similarly, and not to say that Neil's background is as much a defensive bent as Dave Aranda's is. And this is kind of a microcosm, and we talked about this on our Saturday postgame show about where the conference ideals are shifting with all of the new coaches mm-hmm. taking over in the league, and I think perhaps none more apparent than what's going on here at Baylor. While Neil, I think, is more of a chameleon, even though he kind of grew up in the air raid offense, and you look at some of his mentors and where he's stopped before, he's obviously able to very quickly adapt and see where this thing is going, and that's why you sort of see West Virginia adapting the philosophy that that some of the other teams in the Big 12 have right now. So I don't see much difference in this team as far as game plan, as far as philosophy, as far as what they're going to try to do on Saturday. Where are some of the nuances that are different, if there are any?
Well, when you think about Neil Brown, you think of what? He's more offensive, right? Because he's a play caller. And really, what he's learned as a head coach, there's a formula to win. And a good part of that formula is a really strong defense. And if you can have that, then you always got a chance in the game, no matter where your offense is at, because the defense can stop the opponent. So, again, I see the transformation. I mean, you look at Cliff Kingsbury for the Cardinals. I said this before, Texas Tech coach. Dan, he's now using tight ends with the Cardinals because he had to evolve and not just do the one thing. So I think that's what you've seen with Neil Brown is, you know, just from the air raid beginnings, he's really evolved and formed his own way, whether that be offense, defense, and special teams.
Everybody's going to try to keep the football away from the other. That's what it's going
to
be on Saturday.
Score, right? I mean, they're going to score and they're going to try to stop.
Is this going to be a rock fight?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. All right.
It's my kind of game.
Okay. You are getting a little happy here.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
You've got that gleeful look in Wolfley's eye right now. Well, that's what we've got for you. Thanks for joining us here on the Mountaineer Insider. And looking forward to Saturday as we try to break it all down. Kind of looking in the mirror. At the philosophy and the game plan overall, and even the personnel to some degree. Now, Brewer coming back is going to be a big, big feather in their cap. We'll hope he's not 100% because
you mean Bernard.
Bernard, yes. Gosh, I'm thinking Charlie's of Charlie gone. Brewer. Yeah, he is gone. Yes. Yeah, Charlie Brewer. Yeah.
Like I said, I have to keep you. You got to go on my coattails.
This
Dan.
Is
I
true.
Have to keep you straight.
Your shoulders are broad and. And thank you for carrying me. Yes, Brewer of nearly the 10,000 career passing yards off to Utah, which that's a bit of a head-scratcher as well. But that's for another conversation, another time. And maybe we'll discuss it on Saturday when we take the air at 8:30 with the Go Martin Mountaineer Tailgate Show. That's this week's edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast with the Wolfman, Dan Zangrilli. And we'll talk to you on Saturday right here on MSN, the Mountaineers Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. Like the podcast? Give us 5 stars or leave a review. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at WVUMSN or find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUSports.com. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.